This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Talo Palava, and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Bobby McCumber. My mother was from Kiribati. My father is Australian. And after living and working in Samoa for 2 years, I managed to represent Samoa in cricket. Now, if you haven't already subscribed to the weekly ABC Pacific newsletter, you need to be doing that. It's the best way to keep up with the news and stories from the Pacific, and it's really simple. Just Google ABC Pacific, scroll down to the bottom of the website and enter your email. Do that and keep up to date with everything. If you've listened to this show before, you know that I'll be joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific. Each co-host will share the latest local sports news on the ground and in the islands. My first co-host is a sports journalist for the national newspaper in Port Moresby. It's Patricia Chiamo. Nice to have you back, Patricia.
Hi, Bobby. It's great to be back.
And my other co-host is a producer and presenter for the National Broadcasting Corporation in PNG, based in Bougainville. It's Lulu Laris. Hello, Lulu.
Yes, hello, Bobby. It's great to be back again.
Oh, wonderful to have you both on. Now, Patricia, you've interviewed a lot of coaches and athletes in your time. Can you tell me who one of your favourite interviews was with and why?
Yes, so my favourite interview so far is the one I did with the PNG, well, former PNG women's football coach, Frederica Sakete. That was after the women's football finals at the Pacific Games last year. Now, it was a very emotional interview as she was part of the PNG team in 2007, but as a player where they beat Fiji to win the first Pacific Games gold medal for women's football. And last year, she was the coach for the team and led the team to beat Fiji again to win their sixth consecutive gold. So yeah, it was a very emotional interview and even I shed a few tears.
Oh, I love that. That's wonderful. Now, Lulu, you've had to name, I'm going to ask you to name your top two favourite sports to report on. What would they be and why?
Yes, my first one is football. I would love to report on this one, football, because I play football and know the rules, which makes it easier to report on as well, something that I'm familiar with. And the second is volleyball. I just love watching the game. It is fun, and at the same time, it's, well, most people refer to it as a scientific game. You get got to use your brains as well as having the skills and perseverance to play. And it's a fun game also. You see players engage in a fierce battle but separated by a net.
Yeah, and you see it all throughout the Pacific. You'll see nets in villages, on beaches, and it's just a part of our culture. Very fast game. Wonderful. Thanks for that, Lulu. Now, coming up on the show, we'll hear about the winners of the Super W and which Pacifica athletes have made the Wallaroos squad.
Lafitte, very close, scores the try. Another deserving recipient of 5 points today. She's had a brilliant game, Tarsi Lafitte.
We'll also hear from a Samoan woman who was qualified for the Paris Olympics in the canoe sprint.
I can just see the smile on her face now. She would be, yeah, very proud and very happy that we're representing, you know, Samoa, where she grew up and where she's from. And, yeah, I know she would just be the loudest one. If she was there, the loudest one in the stands or shouting at the TV, you know, classic Samoan grandmother, the loudest in the room.
Yes, that's Samalulu Clifton there talking about how proud her late Samoan grandma would be that both her and her brother are representing Samoa at the Olympics. As usual, we'll give you the latest sports gossip from around the Pacific, plus loads more, so make sure you stick around.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
Every week, my co-hosts and I will cover sports spanning the Pacific region, providing in-depth analysis and highlighting some of the top moments in sport. But before we get to that, let's have some fun.
Coconut Wireless.
The Coconut Wireless is where we discuss sports gossip in your country. Who is switching footy codes? What rumours come out of the bucket of karma? Sorry, what rumours come out over a bucket of kava? And have you seen any famous rugby stars holidaying on your island? Now, these are not verified facts. They're lacking evidence, but these are some of the rumours happening around sport in your country. Patricia, I would like to hear what you've heard on the Coconut Wireless in Port Moresby.
The first one I had this week is about Papua New Guinea Paralympic head coach, who is also the performance director for the PNG Paralympic Committee, Paul Bannister. So it's rumored that he has left his role due to work visa. So following the Pacific Games last year, they said he wasn't able to renew his work visa to remain in PNG to prepare the para athletes for Paris Paralympic Games. So just a couple of days ago, I heard that he has left his role and is no longer in the country due to that. So quite a sad news for the Paralympic Committee.
Oh, it is indeed. It's just something you've heard, so you may not have an answer, but who would stand in his place or what would happen next, do you know?
At the moment, I do not know yet, but it's all still developing as the week goes, so we should hear more about that most likely next week.
Hopefully that doesn't impact the para-athletes that are heading over to Paris. That would be devastating. But thank you for that little piece of Coconut Wireless. What else have you got for us, Patricia?
Oh, Bobby, this one, I think you're going to... I'm not sure if you're going to love it or be sad about it, but you remember PNG's tennis star, Abigail Terapisa? You had her on the live show in Honiara.
I do remember Abby.
So for Abby this year, I've heard some rumours that she is retiring from representative duties because she's expecting her second child.
Oh, I mean, that is beautiful. That's beautiful news for her and her family. But yes, devastating for the tennis community. How do you feel about that, Patricia?
Well, I'm actually sad to, you know, see her hang up her racket. But I'm also, at the same time, I'm really happy for her. I mean, she's given so much for this country, you know, representing PNG in tennis over the years, well, since she was a young girl. And, you know, it's about time at some point all of us have to settle down and start a family and all that. So I'm happy that she, you know, gets to have that with her partner. And they're having a baby girl, so congratulations to them.
Well, congratulations to Abby and her partner. Commiserations to Maddie, her tennis doubles partner. He's going to have to find someone else. But good news for Abby. Thank you very much for that, Patricia. Lulu, let's take it over to Bougainville now. What have you heard on the Coconut Wireless?
This is about the gossip that Zacharias Selu makes the best of his Hunter opportunity. And this is an opportunity that most of the rugby league players would, love to have. And, well, this year, SP Hunter said around 50 players at the start of the preseason and cut down their squad to 30 members when the team launched their 2024 Hot Plus Cup campaign. The preseason included contracted players and train and trial players. Not so many get this opportunity, especially those that play outside of the Digicel Exxon Mobil Cup. But the rugby league talent in PNG still remains raw and widespread, with the limited pathways available to get to the Digicel Exxon Mobil Cup. So many ply their trade in the local leagues, hoping for a shot at the zone trials. But for a few that play in the local leagues and have caught the attention of the coaches in the Hunters, they jump straight to the Hunters from the local leagues. And Zacharia Zelu is one of those players who impressed the Hunters coach, Paul Aiton, during the zone trials in Port Moresby last year, earning himself a spot in the Hunters preseason this year. Zelu plays halfback in his local club, Rabaul Panthers, back in the East New Britain province of PNG, and he came straight for the zone trials in Port Moresby and then to join the Hunters straight away. So he says this is a great opportunity for him.
Oh, well, that's wonderful news. And you do love to hear about these zone trials and people from rural communities that are getting the opportunities of those that are playing in cities like Port Moresby as well. So that's wonderful news to hear. Thank you, Lulu. Did you have any other bits of sports gossip on the Coconut Wireless?
Yes, it's the PNG Games, which initially scheduled to take place in September 2024, It has been deferred again, and this is for the eighth time it has been moved. And the 8 PNG game scheduled to convene in September this year in Mendi, Southern Highlands, one of the provinces in PNG, has again been deferred to June 2025. And this follows a hard decision made by the National Executive Council, the government. And this has also left many sportsmen and women in the country frustrated after so many trials and trainings and waste of money. The PNC Games was last held in Kimbe in West New Britain in year 2017, but it has been deferred, and it's the eighth time it has been deferred.
Ah, that's incredible. And seems like these athletes have been waiting for a while. I'm sure some have retired in between then as well. All right. Well, thanks for that gossip, both Patricia and Lulu. That was the Coconut Wireless.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field, uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
All right, it's time to find out what's happening in sport across our islands. Patricia, we'll start with you. What are some of the local sports highlights happening in PNG?
Well, Bobby, thanks. Well, first off, this week has been an interesting week. So we've had three more Taekwondo athletes who have been confirmed as qualified for the Paris Olympic Games. Now, just last month, early last month, we had one of the Taekwondo athlete, Gibson Mara. He qualified for the Olympic Games after competing at the Oceania Olympic Qualifiers. Now, his qualification was a direct entry. Now, for the other three, they were awaiting confirmation from World Taekwondo to confirm their qualification status. So joining Gibson is Kevin Kassman. He comes from a household name in the sport of Taekwondo. So Kevin will join Gibson to compete in the Olympic Games, while the other two athletes are actually para-athletes who have also qualified for the Paralympic Games. All four of them are actually the first lot of athletes from PNG that have qualified for Paris, so it's really interesting news for PNG. Now that they've received their confirmation status, so the two athletes that qualified for the Olympic, Kevin and Gibson, they are leaving for Adelaide for a lead-up training camp there with an Australian coach. They will be based in Adelaide for about 2 months, training there for the Olympic Games. Now, it is interesting for the sport, as in the last Olympic Games, no athlete from Taekwondo has qualified for both the Olympic and the Paralympic Games. So this is a huge achievement for the Taekwondo Federation in PNG. They have some big goals that they're working towards achieving, and getting into, qualifying was the first goal that they've achieved. So preparation is going to be very hectic for them and very demanding.
Have there been any big changes in Taekwondo over the last year or two that's seen this improvement, or has this just been something that has been worked on since they started competing in Taekwondo?
Well, like I said, most of the fight sport like Taekwondo and Karate, they do not get a lot of attention in PNG, not a lot of support from the government and all that. So, it's taken a while for them to develop and grow and get to that level. But for Taekwondo, they've in the last year coming up, last year leading up into the Pacific Games, during and after, and now there have been so much development happening in the sport, a lot of improvements, more participation, and they've actually been delivering results.
What else is happening in sports in PNG, Patricia?
Yeah, Bobby, so this weekend is going to be an exciting weekend for me. So we have the T20 Smash Finals, the women's cricket competition. This is one of, the biggest domestic cricket competition in PNG. So this is the women's competition, and on Saturday, they will be having their finals. So the last 3 weeks has been very competitive, seeing women's cricket with results swaying from one direction to another. Now, this weekend, the finals will be at 2 p.m., and the defending champions, they are called Kasawaris. They will be taking on another team called Madmen. while the other two participating teams will be playing for placings. Now, all these four teams that are competing in this women's competition, the teams are made up of PNG Lewis players as well as the under-19 CLS squad. And interestingly, for this year's competition, they have the inclusion of three Australian marquee players, Rianne O'Donnell and cousins Ruth and Ellie Johnson. Yes, all of whom I'm sure you might know them.
Yes.
They have experience playing in the women's BBL competition. So, you know, their inclusion in the competition has made it so much more competitive. Very interesting. Honestly, I have loved the competition. It's been a great 3 weeks so far. And while I am excited to see how the finals will pan out this weekend, I'm also sad that after the finals, everything ends and they go off. That's the sad part.
I tell you, having those names, the WBBL players coming across and playing in Papua New Guinean local competitions is brilliant, and that is just going to do wonders for the local competition and their players. I have played alongside Rianne O'Donnell, sorry, against her. She's an absolute superstar, as are the sisters. So that's great news, women's cricket happening in PNG.
The competition has been nothing but action, with players hitting over half a century, almost 100 runs in every game, while fielding has been spectacular. I tell you, seeing young players taking out 5-wicket hauls and impressive catches, to a point where even the coaches, the national coaches, have described the women's competition as much more competitive and interesting than the men's competition a couple weeks ago. So yeah, it's been great progress. And also something that I really value in this women's tournament is, for the first time in the history of this competition, now for this women's T20 smash, they have more inclusion of women involved in the space of coaching, umpiring, as well as having female commentators calling the matches, which I think it's a very fantastic arrangement. You know, it's a women's competition and you have more women involved in coaching the teams, umpiring, and female voices commentating the games.
Yeah, well, that's good news across the board. Thank you very much for that, Patricia. Who did you have a chance to catch up with this week?
So earlier this week, I spoke to the PNG Lewis head coach. He is also the assistant coach for PNG's under-19 women's team called the CLS. They are leaving for Bali, Indonesia for the East Asia Pacific qualifiers. And I asked him about how the team's doing in terms of preparation and their travel.
So preparations for the CLS, yeah, we head over to Indonesia on the 7th of May with a squad of 14, which will be announced in the coming days. But we have the confirmation that Dika Lohia will be the captain for the tour, which is really pleasing. Her experience with the Lewas and the things that she does around the group at training was an easy choice in that space. There were a couple of other girls who will be in a leadership role, and looking forward to the future.
So with the tournament, the qualifiers rather, coming up, and now some of the players are competing in the issues of T20 smash, how is their experience adding on to that?
Yeah, this is a perfect lead-in. If we could do one of these tournaments before every tournament we go away to, it would be great, because it just allows the girls to get and play games, and that's the way they learn. You can do as much as you can in the nets and at training, but until you get out there and practice in the game. And from a coaching perspective, it's good to see what they're trying to implement in a game as well, so we can sort of modify training to sort of adapt and improve their skills.
All right, so for the qualifiers, which other countries is PNG playing against?
Samoa, Fiji and Indonesia are the other three. So there's only four teams.
Would you be able to, you know, give any comments on the opponents that the CLS have?
Yeah, no, I haven't seen any of them, but like our girls, I reckon they'll be players who are developing and are coming up through their pathways. So it'll be strong. They'll have good players. They'll have other players who we can probably take advantage of. But the whole opportunity to, you know, win this tournament and then go and play in the World Cup in January is something that the CLS are really taking seriously and looking forward to seeing how they go.
So this is a direct qualifier, so whoever wins gets into
Goes straight to the World Cup from what I understand. So that will be great.
The last qualifiers, the CLS one, they fell short to reaching that goal. So this would be an opportunity for them to.
Yes, every opportunity you go in, and the thing is too. I mean, if they miss out on the last one, but the team's completely different because it's an under 19 team. You know, 5 or 6, maybe 10 of them swap and change. So you're just playing different opposition all the time as well. So we're a totally different team. We've had a little bit more preparation. Uhuru Dai has obviously trained the girls up really well over the last couple of months. So yeah, just looking forward to, on the back of this tournament, seeing how they perform on the big stage in Indonesia.
You're going with the team as the head coach?
No, I'm not the head coach. I'll be going, but I'm just assisting Uhuru, and we're also taking Pauke Siaka as an assistant coach as well. So just something that she wants to do going forward from a coaching perspective. So yeah, looking forward to seeing how she goes in that.
That's
in
a
that
good role. Opportunity for her.
Absolutely, and she brings a wealth of experience for the girls. And when she talks, even like the Lewas stop and listen. So I can only imagine what the under 19 girls will do as well. So
right. Exciting. Thanks, coach.
No worries. Thank you.
Wonderful interview there, and hearing lots about women's cricket happening in PNG. And like you mentioned, Patricia, more women's voices across the board, as we heard David saying there, with some more female coaches coming into the fold there with the Lewas. Thank you for that, Patricia. Lulu, what's been happening in sports in Bougainville?
Yes, we had this Bougainville Black Orchid, two-time New Power Sports Talk 7 winners. So this team has travelled thousands of kilometres by air from the autonomous region of Bougainville, the Black Orchid Rugby Sevens team. They did not disappoint in the 3 days New Power Sports Talk Sevens 2024 tournament that took place in April in Port Moresby. The Black Orchids are a household name in the sports of sevens in PNG and gain huge support in the sevens rugby tournament. They braved the scorching heat at the Bava Park and showers on the final day at the St. John Guy Stadium in Port Moresby. The Black Orchid have become two-time champions in the annual New Power Sports Talk Sevens tournament. And the Black Orchid team are from Bougainville. They won in 2022 and this year managed their second cup win when they defeated Port Moresby-based Gerahu Natives. The Natives were a top side in the tournament and racked up convincing wins of their own to make it to the cup final, but couldn't fend off a determined Orchid side. And they received the cash prize of 20,000 while the Natives settled for 10,000. In the Women's Cup final, it was the Cornish Sharks that grabbed 15,000 cash prize, defeating the KA Sisters. The Talk Sevens is growing every year, while this year it saw more teams joining in from the outside centers, and a total of 12 teams flew in from around PNC. This also saw the number of women's team increasing to 12 teams taking part in the Open Women's Division.
Oh, wonderful to hear that there's those cash prizes happening for both the men's and the women's. I remember playing sport and I got a voucher for a pizza store. That was our local sponsor. So no cash prizes for me, but good to hear that that's happening in the more professional sports. Lulu, who did you have a chance to catch up with this week?
Well, a Pacific Games gold medalist, female boxing star all the way from South Bougainville, who joined Team PNG last year to the Pacific Games in Honiara. I started by asking Petronella when she started boxing.
Well, I started boxing when I was 22 years old. It was just a hobby. I never took boxing seriously. That was when I joined a local boxing club in Arawa called Police Club. But I never thought this would be the start of my boxing career. That was in 2017, when I was selected from Bougainville to represent Team Bougainville in National Championship in Arawa and PNC Games in Kimbe'e that time. And last year I played at the Bougainville Charity Dining Gala, again representing Bougainville, and the PNC Boxing Union representative scouted me and selected me to attend the national trials here in Pom and joined the national team, and we started to prepare for the Pacific Games.
Were there any challenges when you joined? As back in our society, boxing is seen as a men's sport, you know.
Yes, I have attacked for the type of dressing, but in boxing, you know, you have to wear something that is a light easier when you want to maintain or check your weight. Frustrating at times, but yeah, traditional norms is very challenging.
So Petronella, being a gold medalist, yeah, you won gold for PNG during that time, during the Pacific Games. How did it feel, you know, to be a gold medalist?
Yes, a great opportunity for me indeed. I was so privileged to have been part of the team PNG Boxing Nani Girls as a female amateur boxer. It was a great and first exposure for me. I participated in local tournaments, but Pacific Game was my second international vault. So thanks to my sponsors, my trainers, and all the ones who have supported me throughout, I learned something from my first international vault last year in Kokoda Cup Challenge. The gold wasn't for me alone. It was for all the women boxers here in PNG. Women boxers. I had to work hard and put my best to play in the ring. I wanted to show those who supported me financially and through my training that their hard work didn't go to waste. I wanted to show them that whatever I did, to be my best.
After the Pacific Games, you returned to attend a training camp in Port Moresby. What was the training camp for?
Oh yes, the training was to prepare for the Kokoda Boxing Challenge held in Port Moresby this week. Opponents from New South Wales and Victoria in this Kokoda Challenge is a big tournament for all of us. My fourth international fight. My fighting weight category is 63 and I had to maintain this weight until the tournament this week. Unfortunately, I didn't fight because my opponent felt sick. So anyway, I was a bit taken aback because after all my trainings, this happened. But this Kokoda Challenge was supposed to be my leader. I fight to my next boxing challenge in Fiji this year and see myself where I am and so some adjustment before my big event in November. So yes, my training will continue because our calendar for this year is really tied up because we have some more international bouts coming up.
Lulu, a wonderful interview there with Petronella, gold medalist at the Pacific Games. Can you tell me a little bit about that attack that she was talking about?
Yeah, you know, in various sports we have different dressing codes and she posted something on Facebook. She was only wearing a top and shorts. She was going to weigh to prepare for the Kokoda Cup Challenge, but then she got negative and very disrespectful comments on her FB page and like she was breaking the custom and traditions, but you know, people back in the village are talking, but this has only pushed her to be more strong.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like she is proving them by being a gold medalist and you know, doing what she's doing. So, well, that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that story, Lulu. Really important and a wonderful story as well. Thanks, Patricia and Lulu. It's always fantastic to learn about all the sport that's taking place throughout our Pacific Islands. We're going to take a look at sport across the Pacific now. Patricia, I mean, we've spoken a bit about cricket, but you've got some more.
Yes, this week has been all about cricket for me. I think it's becoming my new favourite sport now.
Welcome on board.
Yes, so the Vanuatu women's cricket team are currently competing in the ICC Women's T20 World Cup Global Qualifiers in UAE. Now, just 12 years after the team was formed or started competing, they have made history in reaching this level. Vanuatu has never made it to the global qualifiers, and this is the first time they've done so. So that's history itself. Now, what's even more special for the team is they defeated a full ICC member nation, Zimbabwe, in their qualifier opener last Friday, bowling Zimbabwe out for just 61 to win by 6 wickets. Now, we can only imagine the atmosphere and the emotions running through these women when they won that match. That was an important match, an important win. Like we always say, the first game is always important. And for Vanuatu to defeat Zimbabwe, that's amazing. Hats off to them. So, you know, the story of how they started 12 years ago you know, competing in international cricket. I mean, 12 years may seem like a lot of time, but in fact, you know, when it comes to developing sport like cricket in the Pacific, especially for women, it's not a lot of time. I mean, if you ask me, the first Vanuatu team was made up of women who were seasonal workers in Australia, and you know, it is just inspiring to see how much they've accomplished in the region, winning the regional qualifiers last year, defeating PNG, and then now going off to compete at the global qualifiers for a spot in the Women's T20 World Cup. It is just amazing to see how our Pacific Island women are reaching greater heights out there. Hmm. Hats off to Vanuatu again. They have a couple more matches to play in the qualifier, and we'll see how they go. But regardless of the results, as a Pacific Islander, I am proud to see how they've progressed in the region and now going out there. You know, it's not easy for an associate member nation to beat a full cricket, well, full ICC member nation like Zimbabwe. I mean, if you look at the ranking, Zimbabwe is ranked way up there in T20 ranking, and then you look at Vanuatu.
Yeah, definitely. And that full membership and associate membership is similar to rugby, where you have your Tier 1 teams and then your Tier 2 countries as well. So Vanuatu being one of the Tier 2 countries. But the only way to improve is to play against the best. So wonderful that they're doing as well as they are. We're going to keep it in Vanuatu and talk about one of your favourite sports to report on, Lulu, Vanuatu football.
Okay, the Tenuku FC, representing the South Efate Football League, is leading the Tuna Cup standings with 6 points after 2 days of play. Having won 2 consecutive matches, the Tenuku Islanders seized the top spot with a 2-1 victory over Marae FC from the MI Area Football League. 2 goals from Santos Tulangi, Kaltoi Chichirua and Alex Kalokis, who scored in the 44 minutes against Erania FC, have propelled them to the forefront of the tournament. Marae FC holds the runner-up position with 3 points, while both Erania FC of South Efate League and the Red Star FC of North Efate League are tied at the bottom of the list with a point each.
Love it. Vanuatu getting a lot of love in this sport across the Pacific segment at the moment, which is good to hear. We're going to have a look at some rugby union now. We'll start with the women's. The Waratahs beat Fiji, drew a women in the Super W final. They smashed them, actually, 50-14 after ill discipline cost the Drua. Of course, the Drua winning the last 2 titles of the Super W. So Waratahs will be very happy with that. Samoan Atasi Lafai was player of the match in the final and also scored the final try. Just a little sweetener there. This win does make it the Waratahs' 5th title since 2021. So those 2 teams absolutely dominating in the Super W. Now, the Wallaroos announced their squad for their 3 Pacific 4 Test series in May, which will see them take on the US, Canada and New Zealand. We've got plenty of Pacifica debutants making up the squad, including 16-year-old Samoan Shalom Sao'aso, 19-year-old Tongan Alana Sikimeti, Samoan Sally Fuisaina, Fiji and Tongan Lydia Kavoa, and plenty more. So always wonderful to see all of those Pacifica names getting represented, not only with the Wallaroos, but all the different countries. But we love to talk about our heritage and seeing those names out there. So congratulations to those players. We'll have a look at the men's Super Rugby now. The Drua beat Moana 24-17 in the Battle of the Pacific on the weekend. Another big one there. Drua speedster Taniela Rakuro scored 2 tries and was player of the match. It means Moana Pacifica drop out of the 8 now and Drua are 7th. So they are the dominant one in the Pacific of the Super Rugby at the moment. Now, Moana hosts the Highlanders. That's happening this weekend in Nuku'alofa for their only match in Tonga this season. I have spoken to some players from Moana Pacifica and, of course, the coach, and they were all really excited about playing that game in Nuku'alofa in Tonga. And, of course, we've got Marianne Kupo, one of the co-hosts on Fresh Off the Field, and she's very much looking forward to seeing that game happening as well. So that's going to be kicking off this weekend. Patricia, we've got some OFC Men's Championships Leagues news.
Yes, to my true favorite sport now. So the OFC Men's Champions League actually starts next week, but well, starting this week till Monday, Tuesday, all the 8 participating teams are making their way to Tahiti for the Champions League. Now, 8 teams are competing in 2 groups of 4. So in Group A, you have the defending champions, Auckland City, Rewa FC from Fiji, Solomon Islands are being represented by Solomon Warriors, and of course, Papua New Guinea's Hacker United. In Group B, it's a very strong group. You have Ifira Blackbird from Vanuatu, AS Magenta from New Caledonia, AS Pirai from the host country, Tahiti, and Vivacitai from Samoa. They will play a single round-robin format in the respective groups, and the top 2 teams in each group will advance to the playoff, with the eventual winner to represent Oceania in the FIFA Club World Cup. Now, I just got news this morning that Hacker United from PNG, they have the services now of 2 Brazilian import players that landed this morning in Port Moresby, who will join the club to go to Tahiti for the Champions League. Now, Hackery has won the 2010 edition of this tournament. That was the first and only time any other team apart from a New Zealand club has won the Champions League. Now, Hackery made history for PNG back then in 2010, and it's been almost 15 years now. Maybe repeat history again to win, you know, with the help of those 2 import players they have from Brazil.
Oh, big championship. I did hear you mention one of the teams from Samoa, Vivacitai. I lived in this village for a year when I was in Samoa, so I am going to be cheering on them at the OFC Men's Champions League. But plenty going on there. Thank you very much for that, Patricia. We're going to wrap up Sport Across the Pacific with one more, Lulu. We've got Fiji Sevens. Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
I'm not really a rugby fan, but this is me reporting about rugby. Well, yeah, the Fiji Airways Fijian Sevens team is hard at training as they're gearing up for the upcoming Singapore's Sevens, and the head coach, Sayasi Fuli, says their final preparations are focused on ensuring the team's endurance, combination structures, and defense are well planned. He says he wants to see the ability to maintain cohesion and resiliences among the players, especially during the demanding final minutes of each half. The Fiji Airways Fijian Sevens finished 6th at the Hong Kong Sevens, while in Singapore will face Australia, Brazil and Great Britain in Pool C. The Singapore Sevens kicks off on the 3rd to the 5th of this month.
Wonderful. As always, it's nice to hear about sport happening across our islands. And I think you nailed that rugby report there, Lulu. Thank you. Thanks to Patricia and both Lulu.
Fresh off the field. The Sporting Pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
Summer Lulu Clifton has recently made the switch from representing New Zealand to Samoa, along with her older brother, and is heading to the Paris Olympics in a couple of months. I started by asking Summer Lulu about how and what she's qualified for.
So I qualified for the K1 500 metres in kayaking, and I qualified in February, and that was at the Oceania Championships, which was held in Sydney and Penrith.
That's awesome. Have you been to the Olympics before?
No, I've never been to the Olympics. This will be my first time. My brother went to Tokyo Olympics for the same sport. So I've heard about it from him.
So you're not the first in the family to go to the Olympics. That's a bit rough.
Yeah, second best.
Where did that dream come from to go to the Olympics?
Yeah, so I started kayaking 10 years ago now, and I didn't know about it being at the Olympics or anything, but I know that I loved the sport straight away when I started, and I saw that there was a pathway to the Olympics, and I just thought, you know, I want to see how far I can take the sport. And of course, Olympics is like the coolest, most amazing event that, I mean, a lot of people would want to go to that. So when I found out it was a possibility, it was, yeah, what I wanted to do.
What made you want to represent Samoa rather than New Zealand?
Yeah, so I actually used to represent New Zealand actually through my kayaking career, and my brother was representing Samoa. But I decided recently, just over a year ago, that I wanted to switch and join my brother and race for Samoa because, yeah, I think it's cool to represent my culture and my background of Samoa and represent, you know, a smaller island on, like, the big stage. And there's not as many people behind Samoa in terms of support and everything like that, but I felt like I had a good group of people around me to help me anyway to get there, and I feel like it's a very exciting thing that my brother and I can do together just to rep our background and our culture.
Mm. Have you always been in touch with your Samoan culture, or has that been something that's grown more recently?
I've definitely always been in touch right from when I was very little. Me and my siblings, we went to a Samoan preschool. We went to Aonga Wha Samoa, and then we went to a bilingual primary school where we learnt Samoan and English together, and then again an intermediate, and then tried to keep it as much learning the language as much as we could through high school. And I have lived with my Samoan grandmother my whole life until she passed, and she's from Samoa, obviously, and it was amazing to be able to grow up with her, having her Samoan culture seep into us and encourage us to learn everything there is, and the culture and the language and the dance, and yeah.
Mm.
So I'm very happy that I had that experience.
I had living with my mother, who was an Ikitabas woman, and my mama lived with us as well, and she didn't speak English. It was so lovely to have both of them in the house to teach me about my Ikitabas culture. What are some of the things that your mum and grandmother taught you about Samoan culture when you were growing up?
They taught me a lot of the food that Samoa loves. I loved mama's cooking growing up. She taught me all how to make chop suey, kokolaisa, panipopo, Yeah, she really brought those to the house and taught me a lot of that. And my mum was very into the Samoan Seva, and she made sure I was going to my Samoan Seva lessons and all growing up doing those. And I actually just restarted another Samoan dance class with my mum this week.
Oh, did you?
Decided to... I felt like it's been a while since I've done it and been missing it a little bit. So, decided to go with my mum along to a new Samoan Seva class.
One of the things that I love about Pacific culture is when you're away on different sporting competitions, dancing is actually a part of the team as well. Is that something that the Samoan team that will be travelling to Paris will incorporate in their preparations or their celebrations?
Yeah, I hope so, yeah. I know that we will be wearing our puletasi and our nice get-up for the ceremonies, and hopefully we might do something. I'm not sure yet. I have to talk to my uncle.
But you'll be prepared anyway. You're doing the training, the Siva.
Yes,
the
I'll be prepared. I'll be refreshed and hopefully dancing very gracefully.
Is it a different feeling representing Samoa to New Zealand?
I think so. I think it's the same in that, you know, Māori culture gets incorporated a lot into New Zealand sport. I hope it will be similar, and I'm sure it will be. I'm excited to meet more Samoan athletes when I go over, because it's just me and my brother Tuva'a here in Auckland. And luckily we have Anne, our manager. She's been for kayaking before us.
Is that Anne Cairns?
Yes, Anne Cairns, yeah.
Oh, we spoke to her. I was at the Pacific Games in Honiara. So I had a chance to interview Anne. And she has, I guess, a similar story to you with, you know, representing New Zealand and then Samoa. What's your relationship like with Anne?
She's like the cool auntie. because she's done it before, she's very good at organising everything and helping us through the whole process, and she's amazing to have around to guide us, and because it's quite a confusing thing.
Yeah. Were you at the Pacific Games in Honiara by any chance?
I was not. My brother did go. I did want to go, but I kind of had to do a, because I'm changing countries, I had to do a bit of a stand down period. So I missed out on that one. Bit gutted, but hopefully the next one I can go to.
Yeah, the next one is in New Caledonia. Is that right? Yeah. No, it's in Tahiti.
Yeah, I think it's in Tahiti.
It's Tahiti. Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll both be there and I can interview you again.
Yeah.
Now, you actually graduated uni last year majoring in food science. So I'm guessing that you do a lot of your meal and food plans for your sports side?
Yeah, yeah. I do all of that. And I've done a lot of nutrition work over the years with help, you know, from the New Zealand team.
How does Samoan food rate when it's studied?
Oh, I would say it's probably very fatty. But really good carbs. The taro is really good carbs.
You mentioned some of the foods that you made with your grandmother and your mum. What are your favourite foods in Samoa to eat when you're there?
I would definitely have to say the kokoa laisa is one of my favourites. Having that fresh, it's so good.
Can you explain to people that are listening what that dish is?
Samoan kokoa is like made from Samoan cocoa beans in Samoa, and they make it with rice, and it's kind of like a hot rice, creamy chocolate rice dish, and just tastes really good, like a dessert.
I imagine that has you don't eat as much of that when you're training and preparing.
No, unless I'm just really feeling, you know, craving.
Now, the next few months, what does that look like for you? Is every day mapped out up until Paris?
Yeah, so I have my training plan all set out. I train in kind of blocks, and right now I'm in a kind of strength block where I'm just doing a bit more focus on gym and also kind of threshold training on the water, so longer stuff to help my fitness. And yeah, so the next few weeks I'm doing a lot of fitness base and strength base, and then it will go into more speedy, shorter stuff. And pretty much I have a rough plan all mapped out, and then every week I sit down and kind of look at my week and make sure I'm happy with all the sessions that I'm doing.
Hmm. Just finally, Summer, your grandmother, you said she's passed. Well, what do you think she would be thinking looking down on both you and your brother representing Samoa at the Olympics?
Yeah, I can just see the smile on her face now. She would be, very proud and very happy that we're representing, you know, Samoa, where she grew up and where she's from. And, I know she would just be the loudest one. If she was there, the loudest one in the stands or shouting at the TV, classic. Samoan grandmother, the loudest in the room.
That was 25-year-old Samalulu Clifton, who will canoe for Team Samoa at the Paris 2024 Olympics with her grandmother screaming from above. All right, now before we finish up, it's time to get to know my co-hosts and I a little bit more. It's time for our next segment. Gyamanstapwe is Tok Pissin for Pick the Lie. Each co-host will tell us three things about themselves, two will be true and one will be a lie, and the other two co-hosts will try to Gyamanstapwe. Patricia, we will start with you. Three things about yourself, please.
Well, first up, I will be commentating the OFC Men's Champions League next week. That's one. Two, I have been working in the mainstream media for almost 5 years now. And the last one, I have recently attained my diploma in communication arts. Which one is the lie?
Right. Okay. So the first one is you're going to be commentating the OFC Men's Championship next week. Next one, you've been in the mainstream media for 5 years. And the last one, you've recently attained your communications diploma. Lulu, what do you think the lie is out of those three things?
Have to choose, I think, the last one.
So you don't think that she has attained her diploma in communications? What am I thinking? I feel like maybe you have been in the media for 5 years. I feel
five
like maybe,
years, yeah.
Yeah. All right, and maybe you have recently attained that. I will say, I hope you are, but I'm going to say it's a lie. You're not commentating on the OFC Men's Championships next week. Patricia, what is the lie?
Congratulations, Bobby. You got this one right.
Oh. I'm sorry you're not commentating, but congratulations to me.
I would love to, but hopefully in the near future.
Hopefully in the near future, absolutely. My cheers were not that you don't do that. It was just that I got it right. Lulu, it's over to you now. Three things about yourself, two true, one lie. Here we go.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a good lie. I just thought of something. Okay, I have three here. I am not a rugby league fan. Yeah, you know the answer already. I play football on weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is I have grapes. I have a grape garden in my backyard.
All right. I think I know the lie already just from the way that you said it. But Patricia, let's go with you. What do you think the lie is? First one, not a rugby league fan. Second, she plays football on the weekends. And the third one, apparently she has a grape garden, grapes growing in her garden.
Well, okay, I think, well, first of all, we're both from PNG, so I know we love rugby league. We both play football. Both play football. So the lie is you do not have a grape garden in your backyard. I don't think that, I don't think that's true. So I think that is the lie.
Only in Bougainville.
I am going to have to agree with you, Patricia. I don't think you have a grape garden in your backyard because you couldn't even finish the sentence. What's the lie, Lulu?
You're both right. You don't grow grapes here, but it's too hot.
All right, and we'll finish off with mine. Okay, now this is three things that happened at my 30th birthday. This was 12 years ago now, but three things that happened. One, I jumped out of a life-size birthday cake. Two, I broke my leg on the dance floor. Or three, I performed an island dance with 10 of my friends. Two of those are true, one's a lie. Patricia, what's the lie?
I think I'll eliminate the second and the third one. Knowing you, you break your leg dancing.
Okay. You know me too well.
You would definitely put up a dance with your friends. So I'm going to go with the first one. I don't think you jumped out of a cake.
You don't think I jumped out of a cake. Okay. Lulu, what about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I'll go for the first one too.
You'll go for the first one too. Okay.
Yeah, so
the cake, you think that's a lie. So I have news. Katy Perry, have you heard of Katy Perry? She's an American musician, artist. Uh-huh. She was touring Australia and she jumped out of a life-size birthday cake as part of her tour. I jumped out of the exact same birthday cake for my 30th birthday because my brother worked at the events company. So that's true, would you believe? I did perform an island dance with 10 of my friends. I did not break my leg on the dance floor, although that has nearly happened 100 times. So I understand that you believe that one. So there we go. Crazy.
My gosh. Bobby, you know what? I think you just gave me the perfect idea for my 25th birthday.
You got to jump out of a cake?
Jump out of a life-size cake, Sounds like a
I'll see if I can get one for you. Oh, thank you, Patricia and Lulu. That does bring us to the end of the show for this week. A massive thank you to my co-hosts from the national newspaper in Papua New Guinea. Thank you, Patricia Kiamo.
Thank you so much, Bobby. Hope to join you again later this month.
Of course. And Lulu Laros, producer and presenter at NBC PNG. Thank you, Lulu.
Yes, thank you so much, Bobby and Patricia. Thank you to have been part of the show with you guys.
Oh, I love having you both on the show. Thank you to our producer, Declan Byrne, to Stan Sport for the audio used in today's episode. And, of course, to you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific, right here on ABC Radio Australia. I will be back next week with two new co-hosts from across the Pacific talking all things sport in our region. This episode was produced on the lands of the Kaurna people and the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.